Now, that is my little bit of a showbiz. You can't hear this because you haven't got headphones on, but it's ever so good. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Michelle Payne, who is a playwright from Essex and actor Crave Webb. They're here to talk about a brand new production called The Staff Room. They've already received, or rather Michelle has already received, a 5-star review from the London Theatre for a first production, and they're taking this show to the Edinburgh Fringe. So, very good morning to both of you.
Hello. Morning.
And you did... Now, you were meant to be here a little bit earlier, but...
Yeah, we had a bit of a mare.
This has happened to people before, because when you put it in the sat-nav, it takes you to the Bay Tree Centre, doesn't it?
Yeah, we just walked for 40 minutes, but...
I don't need to go to the gym now.
No, I wouldn't do it. But you're lucky it's downhill. It's all downhill.
Going back to the
hill. Yeah. So we're going to start off with yourself, Michelle. How long have you been writing?
I maybe started writing about 3 years ago. My first play, Orchid, was like a post-apocalyptic play. I started writing because I'm an actress and wasn't getting any work. Got very, very frustrated with like the industry. So I just decided to make my own stuff.
To write something like a play, mm-hmm. How different is it from sort of doing a book?
In terms of reading, I read a lot of plays anyway, as opposed to kind of novels and stuff. I see a lot of theatre as well. I think that definitely helps with writing. You have to see stuff and kind of know what you're working with before you start writing. It's more about knowing how different characters speak, like their tempos and their rhythms and the types of vocabulary they have, and like separating the one or two or three or four characters so that they all have a different voice. Mm. So I think that's probably the most challenging bit, as opposed to writing like a novel where it's all from one character's point of view, or yeah, splitting up how each character talks.
And because you are an actress, did you actually sit there when you'd gone through and got your script and actually read through it yourself as all the different characters before, or did you get actor friends to come in?
Yeah, a bit of both. It's a bit of talking to yourself looking nuts and a little bit of asking friends to read it. But that's the scariest bit, because you, especially when you're starting out and you don't know if it's good or not, and you say to your friends that have been in plays at the National, like trained at really good drama schools, and you say, oh, I've written this, can you have a go? And when it works out, it's really nice.
Tell us about the first play you did before we get on to this one. Tell us about the first one.
Yeah, so the first one was part of Camden Fringe 2 years ago. We were at the Moors Bar in Crouch End. We did a 3-night run of Orchid. So it was a post-apocalyptic show set in the future. Underground. They were trapped underground in the future. And it was kind of like a spiritual journey. The main character wanted to get to the surface of the earth. So it's kind of like the pursuit of happiness type thing. I think it reflects how maybe a lot of people feel in like a surrealist kind of way of telling it.
And that was your first play, and you got really good reviews for that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And very surprised, because you don't know, you're stabbing in the dark. But yeah, really, really lovely reviews. And then it did another run in January at the Black Box Festival at the Etc. Theatre in Camden. Yeah, and after that, I thought maybe I should try and write something else, because that was a... I co-wrote that with a friend. So I decided to start writing on my own.
Now, we are joined by a very handsome man, and you're a very good-looking woman as well.
We're
joined by Craig Webb, who is an actor and a singer, and you've just come from the BBC. The BBC, darling!
I have, the BBC!
So what have you been up to? Tell everybody.
I've just been part of the programme Let It Shine on the BBC. I mean, my first audition was way back in August now, and I made it to the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. So I made it to the live shows. It was amazing. It was great. Such a good experience. I learned a lot. I got to work with a lot of really kind of high-end people in the industry. Like, take that, choreographers, a lot of West End creatives, a lot of people in wardrobe. Everyone was so, like, high-end. And I just learned a lot. It was great. I had an absolute blast. Yeah. Obviously, it would have been nice to get to the final, but no, it was really nice. It was good.
Have you made any contacts, do you think, or sort of?
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, you always do. And I remember I had like a one-on-one chat with BBC Welfare when I got eliminated. I just remember them saying to me, like, things that you might think are quite small, people remember. So the BBC have seen me. Mm. They know how I work. They know how I work in rehearsals, behind the scenes. Because also, you know, as a performer, it's also about how you are and how you conduct yourself behind the scenes, and how you are with the creatives, because people want to work with you.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got my face out there, and I've got my name out there, and I've had a few kind of exciting doors open. Yeah, I can't really talk about them, but there's a few things in the
you're gonna be on television again, I can tell.
Well, you know.
Say nothing.
I can tell
his eyes are all sparkling. We're talking about the staff room. Tell us about this production, because Craig is one of the main characters. Is there three characters?
So I did a lot of freelance teaching work while I was trying to be an actress and a playwright to pay the bills. And I spent a lot of time kind of in a lot of different staff rooms. So you start to work out how people like make friends and how they cook their lunch and how they treat you as a visitor to their school. And I just found it a really interesting situation. I was putting loads of Facebook statuses up about how interesting it was. And I thought, you know what, this is a play. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's about three kind of new teachers that are trying to grow up themselves as well as teach the younger generation. So they're struggling with things like buying houses and buying their little cars and kind of having a salary for the first time since they've come out of uni. So they're still in that weird place that they're not complete grown-ups. Like, I think we all expect teachers to be these saints that are guiding our children, but it's kind of not always the way. Maybe it takes a little bit of kind of working out. But yeah, I wanted to show that youngsters are kind of struggling in professions or finding themselves in new professions.
Is it set on different days, Craig? So you one day it's a Monday and then you have your little break and then go to your class, and is that how it's
that's
worked?
Exactly how it is. Sometimes, you know, it's set maybe at lunchtime, and then after school there's a school trip in it, so it'd be in the morning when a teacher's about to go on. So yeah, there's different kind of parts in the day.
And tell us more about your character, about the background.
Hugo. I love Hugo. He's adorable. He's great. He's I think he's a bit of a lost soul. He's a very lovable character.
Yeah.
And when I first read the script, he's got a lot of the one-liners that are just hilarious. They're very funny. Sometimes he'll just butt into a conversation, not being part of the conversation, with something completely different. Kind of strikes me as the character that's got this job through a friend of a friend that's doing him a favour, and he's just trying to find his way as a teacher. The kind of teacher that, you know, he teaches geography. Say he's got teach a class about equator. He'll be Googling equators on the train on the way to work that morning. He's kind of that teacher. Brilliant. I love playing him. He's so great to play. Very funny. And very out there. Yeah.
And did you both know each other before? Have you met or worked together before?
Yeah, we're best friends.
Oh, that's best friend.
Yeah. We met work in front of house at Theatre Royal Drury Lane in the West End 6 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Very long. Yeah. We were so young. We ended up on a few nights out together and just were we're mates. You'd know when you just click with someone, and we just went it pretty much straight away. We were just always supported each other creatively, when we're finding our feet, because Craig's a songwriter as well.
Yeah.
So I go to all his gigs and he comes to all my plays, and we do, we have a good kind of appreciation, for each other's work.
Because we are both writers, I think.
We get it.
We have that energy. We bounce off each other in that respect. We just get on, didn't we?
Yeah, we do.
Because I have so many musicians come in that, they're fantastic musicians, they've got albums out, and we play loads of new music here because we're sort of local radio, but sometimes with the BBC, I know you've been on the BBC, but sometimes with the BBC, they can't play, during my show, I could play six or seven new artists if I wanted to, if I've got music in. So is it in the world of acting just as difficult to get your name and your plays out there because of the cost and, or where you can actually go to put things on? Because if you want to put a play on yourself, you've got to fund
it. It's so difficult. We do a lot of fundraising, which is what we're doing at the moment for Edinburgh. Where we have been very lucky is Douglas Rintle, who's the artistic director at the Queen's Theatre, has been amazing, so helpful. He basically put a call out for local artists, so I messaged him and took a folder full of my plays, 15-minute kind of scenes, and said, this is what I do. Luckily, we got the 5-star review at Theatre N16, which he saw on Twitter, which, again, social media is perfect for things like this. It's very good for like promoting this sort of stuff. And he emailed me and said I'd like a meeting and offered us my first professional writing gig. So that's at the Queen's Theatre in July. Nearly sold out, and we've been offered a second show for the same day, so like one after the other.
But
Douglas has definitely been very helpful, because like he come from a working class background and worked his way up and is now artistic director, and the Queen's in Hornchurch is doing amazing things at the moment, really putting themselves back in making exciting theatre. He's been very helpful, but it is difficult, especially in London. A lot of stuff, Theatre in 16's been great, actor awareness as well, we've worked for a little bit. A lot of my plays get picked for the actor awareness scratch nights, which is for working class actors. But yeah, it is difficult, unless kind of I've had mates that have been given like 10 grand to make their own web series, and like you just don't have that sort of money. Like it's just nuts that people just get it. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of it is to do with finances, I think, and it is tricky. A lot of my wages go into making my stuff happen, which is it's most important for me. I'd rather do that and not have a couple of nights out, you know.
So you actually you're producing, so when people are reading, because sometimes the people who actually write the plays and they step back and let other people do it, but you do the whole, you're doing the whole thing.
Yeah, at the moment, I mean, if someone did approach me and want to produce something, like go for it, like please, because it's so stressful. Yeah, I think that is the hardest bit, is kind of getting people to care, because obviously there's so many people out there that want to do it. The producers and the artistic directors and the directors have to read it, and they have to sit down and read it and say, yeah, I like this. It's that initial, like, how do they see your work and how do they read your work, and how do you get them to sit and look at it? But yeah, that's the hardest bit, I think. I think these scratch nights are helping. I submit 15 minutes to scratch nights, and people from that have approached me and said, oh, that's really good, like, and taken my Twitter, and we've been stayed in contact like that. But yeah, it is difficult to find someone to say, especially with money, no one wants to take the risk.
Yeah.
But someone to say, I'm going to produce this for you, has not quite happened yet. Nearly, maybe after Edinburgh. I'm
so
hopeful.
Before we talk about Edinburgh, about the other actors you're working with, Craig, I'm going to give them a little name check. No, you don't want to, really.
Awful,
they've not
terrible.
Been on the BBC, have
they? No.
We'll cut this bit out of the interview, bless
them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Faye and Hilary. I was going to say Alison then.
That's their character.
I was going to say the character name.
Faye, we only saw her last night.
It's nice that it is nice that in the play there's only three of us. So, it really gives us a chance to kind of bond, and we're all really close, and it's important for the nature of the play, really, because they are with each other and they work with each other every day, that we kind of know each other, and we kind of get used to our kind of mannerisms and what everyone kind of, you know. So it's nice that there is only three of us, because we get on, kind of, we know who does the coffee run, we know who's going to be late, we know who's... So they're great, and they're really, you know, they're really professional, and yeah, I really, really enjoy working with them.
So the thing is about acting, because you're a musician, obviously, as well.
Yes.
And it's a slightly different thing, because with musicians, you can maybe not get on with somebody, but they can be in a band, but they can stand away from you. I don't get on with the drummer.
You
can go at the back. But with acting, have you, I mean, because obviously you've been acting for, you're only very young, but you've been acting for quite a while, obviously.
Yeah.
He's very, very young. He's very cherry
face. I bet you'd be surprised.
No, you're very young. What's it like when you have to work with somebody with actors, when you don't actually get on, you've met them off set and you're like, oh my god, they're horrible, and you've got to do scenes with them. What do you have to do? I mean, that is really acting.
That's in itself. Do you know what, I'm very fortunate in I haven't been in that situation where I've really detested someone, like, but I mean, that people, obviously, you know, when you're, say, at drama school, or if I've been rehearsing for something and there's like a big cast, you're not going to get on. Not everyone is going to hit it off. Not everyone's going to click. Not everyone's going to kind of be the best of friends. Some people will annoy you, and there's difference of opinions, there's difference of personalities. Mm-hmm. But I mean, on stage, you for me, I find it quite easy to just throw that, you know, ego aside. You just kind of get on stage and you do it. And as I said, I've never really, minor annoyances, but but that's because someone, you know, left their lunch on my desk or something at lunchtime. Like, it'd be silly. It's not that, like, no one's ever really aggravated me in that kind of environment. Touch wood. Everyone I've worked with, everyone, touch wood, has been really nice to work with so far in what I've, in all the projects that I've done and been involved with. But yeah, I shall keep you. If that ever happens, I will report back how I deal with that scenario.
It'll probably be somebody really, really famous. That's when you get everything given to you on a plate. That's when you start to turn a bit funny, I think. As you're moving up into doing your acting and getting on, I think people stay quite sane. It's when, I think, when you get things given to you, you know, if people just keep giving you
not
stuff,
have to work for it.
Exactly. It's not going to happen for me anyway. Now, the staff room, you're going to, as you said, you're going to be at the Queen's Theatre, but you'll want to go to Fringe.
Tell
us about it.
Okay, so the Edinburgh Fringe, we actually had, was it three or four venue offers? I think four, maybe. But we've gone with The Space. They were the ones that called and kept harassing us and said, like, we want your show, which was really nice and really gives you a lot of confidence when people want your show. So we're there for a week at the end of August. But it's a lot of money. It's a hell of a lot of money. To obviously, the accommodation prices are whacked up because it's Edinburgh Fringe and they know everyone wants to be there.
Yeah.
We're there in the last week, which is, like, great for us because, like, the buzz, like, the hype's there, the buzz is there, but everything is much more expensive. We're trying to raise £3,000to go to the Fringe, like, just for that week. Yeah, we're doing a fundraising concert at the Phoenix Artist Club on the 19th of March, so that's the matinee, Sunday matinee at the Phoenix Artist Club in Leicester Square. And that's going to be, like, all snippets of the plays I've written. A couple of songs, Craig's singing. Craig's having a sing. Yeah, and hopefully we can raise, like, a little bit there. Mm-hmm. We've got some merchandise as well, like tote bags and mirrors and, like,
really cool.
Yeah. Cute little things like that to try and, like, they're, like, incentives for pledging. We've got an Indiegogo and stuff to, like, pledge. And then we're doing three Edinburgh Fringe preview shows, obviously the two at the Queen's Theatre, which all of the money from that is going towards Edinburgh. Instead of us kind of getting a cut and getting paid, we've said, let's put it all towards going to the Fringe, and hopefully it will do something for the show and for us. It will help us out a little bit. Theatre in 16 as well, we've got a Edinburgh preview, and we're also doing the Guildford Fringe Festival for one show at G Live in Guildford. So again, everything we make from ticket sales for those, for Theatre in 16 and Guildford Fringe, are going all in the Edinburgh pot.
Just getting that money, as you said, it's getting the money to actually get the product out there.
Yeah.
Because it's a product, isn't it? You've got to get people out to see it. It's like with singers and with actors. You can be the best in the world, but unless you're out there,
unless people know about it.
They don't know about it, do they?
Yeah, but that's what we want. We're inviting, like, Channel 4 and Netflix, and we want people to see this because it would make a great, like, sitcom.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so much potential and so much material there. Places like the Soho Theatre as well, I'd really love to see it. If nothing kind of comes of Edinburgh, my next kind of plan is to film it and attempt to do a web series.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no video editor, but we can have a go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can hopefully between us cobble something together.
Your fingers crossed, you're hoping that one of the channels might sort of say, we'd like to sort of put some money behind this and get it to be a TV series.
Yeah, because they're all up there. And if we've got the Queen's kind of backing us, like Doug's really, like, behind us on social media and stuff, so I'm hoping that something could
I can really see, it's very suitable for TV, like the style of writing, I could just see it. So
is it quite serious in places and comedy? Is it a bit kind of across?
Like real life, and they joke about things that are potentially quite, like, tragic. Like if it was written in a different style, people would come out a bit like, oh my god. But they cover, like we do in real life, like, they cover up all this, like, stuff happening through humour, which is obviously how we deal with life anyway. So
the next one you write, are you going to make sure you've got an acting part in it as well?
Oh gosh,
that's what I'm doing. If I was writing the main part of the character, I feel that is me.
It is. It's weird because every character you write has, like, a little bit of you. Even writing Hugo, there's some jokes in there that are, like, us, and it's it sounds really, like, naff to say, but
of me and Hugo.
Oh my god, so much.
Yeah,
but you do, and there's part of me that goes, oh, I could I could just do it, but it's just so much work. I think it depends on the venue, what it's for, how much money's behind it. It's even down to things like how many props you need, because if I've got a buy X amount of props and sort it and put it all in my car and arrange rehearsals, I then don't want to be learning lines because I don't want to jeopardise like my performance because of the admin-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is, I did play Orchid in my first play, but I also got in a director and an assistant director, so I had kind of people, a bit of support, and my sister's excellent, isn't she? She's my personal like stage manager, lighting technician. She's a musical theatre singer, and she's learned everything to like help me make my shows a thing. But bless her. But yeah, it's hard. You kind of have to wear all the hats when you're starting out. But yeah, I'm missing acting a little bit. I do watch it and think, oh, I wish I was in it.
Do one woman show.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
Oh my God, terrifying.
And then you can write me a one man.
Yeah, that's it.
All right then. We'll do a double bill.
Stick together, because these are the relationships. I think when you form relationships, they go right the way through to filming, and that's what it should be about, that you go, actually, I know somebody's perfect for that, or I know, and that's how it works.
It's so true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've
got to have your connections.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And people that come and see my shows, I remember for when I'm casting, I get a lot of messages from people, and like, I'm not really doing loads and loads yet, but I get messages from actresses that I don't know and actors that I don't know being like, oh, I'd really like an audition for your play, like, which is lovely to receive. Mm. But I'm also like, yeah, but have you seen anything I've written? You know, like, I'm putting stuff on quite frequently. So I think that's so important to see stuff and to see the types of theatre you want to be part of instead of just bashing out a random message to a random playwright on social media. But yeah, I think coming to see, especially my like style of writing, I do a lot of like spoken word, but then I also do a lot of like comedy. So I think people have to know what they're pitching themselves for. Much more, you pay a lot more attention to people when they're interested in you as well. Like when they're passionate about your work, that's the type of people you want to work
personal,
with.
Isn't it?
Because again, how I knew that's how I know I won his costume. Hillary's the same. That was it's even things like coming to the audition and going, I just want to say like, thanks for seeing me, I really love this monologue that you've written. I've had that a few times, and I've called actresses back to workshop with them. But because they've said that, and I just think, oh, like, if they like my work, I'm like, yeah, I'm happy to like have a go. But yeah, Faye was the same. Yeah.
Now I have to say one important thing. My name is also Michelle.
Yeah.
And we're both from Essex. Now, do you ever get? I'm looking at Hugo here because I know Hugo's got a lovely speaking voice. Do you ever get called, which is like the sin for me, Michelle?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do about
Michelle.
It?
Michelle.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, my auntie Anne calls me Michelle. Young Anne, we have to call her, not Auntie Anne, because it makes her sound old.
Sorry,
she calls
Anne.
Me Michelle.
Yeah.
Hello, Anne. Young Anne.
Do you ever correct anybody?
Nah.
No.
I don't mind. It's quite cute. Nah.
I think all worse, to be quite honest.
Yeah. But yeah, you end up with an argument. It's a lot of people just shell. I get shell a lot, which is lovely. I can cope with shell. Yes. That's quite
I don't
nice.
Get that. I normally get Ward, which is my surname.
Oh, yeah.
Ward.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What's that all about? It's horrible. Now, you're singing, my love. Have you got your... You do singing as well, so you write your own material. What's your website?
Do you know what? I don't have a website
SoundCloud.
Yet made.
You're on SoundCloud?
Craigrab. Everything's Craigrab Music.
Yep.
I write kind of... I've been writing for... years now. I write like first it was acoustic stuff, and it was like kind of soul, funk, pop, and now I've managed to find a pool of producers to work with. Amy, James, Barr, and great talents. Mm. And I'm now working on an EP, like a five track EP, to get out in the summer.
Excellent.
Just my stuff, all original. There's something I'm really passionate about, just original writing.
Yeah.
I love it, and I don't think people give it enough time, or they don't give it enough of a chance. People listen to what they know.
Mm.
They relate more to what they know, which is understandable. But I think, you know, it's so much more special when it's original and it comes from someone, and it, you know, so which is why I love this project. I love, you know, anything that's kind of new writing.
Yeah.
I love encouraging that. EP out in the summer, which is fun. just doing this, and
you have to make sure you come in and do a live set in the studio.
Yeah, you should.
I'd absolutely love to.
Can't coming.
Me and Pete come into an acoustic.
I love live music. I might film you as well. That looks a bit strange, but don't worry about that. Why are you filming me? I'm not even singing. If you want to go and see the Staff Room again, it's going to be at the Queen's Theatre, which is going to be in
July.
Yep, and you can check all the details there on, which is Queens-Theatre, I think it's
.co.uk.
Remember, well done, Michelle. And also, you are looking for funding for the Edinburgh Fringe, and you've got, what's your page?
Okay, so we're on Indiegogo. Everything's on our Twitter. So it's at Staff Room Play.
And we've
just set up a website as well, which is thestaffroomplay.com. So everything will be on there as well. Yeah, all the information, all the links, photos, videos, us dancing on a table.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Well, thank you both very much for coming in. You can go and have a little bit of a rest, and then I will take you back up to where your car is.
Somewhere stranded
on the high street. The thing is, though, my car is a real filth pit, so I have to run out very quickly just to clear away. I think there was an empty box of sandwiches. That's terrible, isn't it?
No. Mine's got a One Direction scooter in it, so...
Scooter?
Yeah, it belongs to one of my friend's children. I don't know why it's still in my car.
You shouldn't say that.
It's
just that it belongs to me, and I just like to...
When I'm
doing my production, I just like to sort of arrive on the scooter.
Yeah, we should have took it to get here.
That could be your thing.
That's not a thing.
Every writer has to have a thing.
That's not my thing.
That'd be quite good. Here she comes. It's Michelle.
Here I come. Yeah.
Thank you both very much for coming in. I'll put the details up on the website, because this will be up for listen again.
Amazing.
And hopefully we'll see you as well, Craig, coming and do some live music later in the year.
Yeah, I would adore that. I'd love that.
Brilliant. Lovely to see you both. You can relax now.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. All right.